My name is Randy Hertz. I'm the Vice Dean of NYU Law School. I'm also the Director of the Law School's Clinical Studies Program. But the most important credentials for this purpose are that I used to be a public defender at the DC Public Defender Service, and I run a clinic called the Juvenile Defender Clinic, in which my students and I represent kids accused of crimes in the New York Family Court. Now, I've been asked to speak to you today about statement suppression motions. And just at the outset, I'd like to make clear that the reason why I'm calling them statement suppression motions and not confession suppression motions is because you will want to, as a defender, move to suppress all statements, even if they appear to you to be ostensibly exculpatory. Let me explain what I mean by that. It may seem to you when you get a statement that it's exculpatory, and it may well seem to be, but until you get to trial and know exactly what your defense will be, you can't know for sure that it actually will be exculpatory and not inculpatory. Let's take an example. Let's suppose your client gives a statement to the police saying that they were not at the scene of the crime, that they were in some other part of town. And so you think, oh, that's great. That's going to be our defense. And then you discover that there are lots of prosecution witnesses who put your client at the scene of the crime, and that defense won't work. And when you talk to your client more, you learn that that statement was false, and that in fact, your client was at the scene, was involved, and was acting in self-defense. So now you've got a self-defense claim, and your client will have to testify at trial about the self-defense claim, but you didn't move to suppress the statement. And so now the statement is available to the prosecution to impeach your client by showing that your client previously said he or she was not at the scene of the crime. So whether it seems exculpatory or not, you want to move to suppress every statement. Now, there are going to be some times when you think you don't have a good, solid basis for winning a suppression hearing. That is often going to be the case, but that is not a reason to forego moving to suppress a statement. As long as you have a colorable basis for filing the suppression motion, you can go ahead and file it. And even if you don't win the suppression hearing, the litigation of that motion will give you a chance to get all kinds of litigatory advantages. The first is you'll get discovery of the prosecution's case. And you'll also get discovery of facts that you may be able to use to help your defense case at trial. In addition, you get a chance to have batting practice with the prosecution's witnesses. You can ask them questions and see which ones work and figure out whether or not to repeat those questions at trial. Then, in addition to the discovery opportunities, you have opportunities to lock the prosecution's witnesses into statements, which you can then use at trial to impeach them if they give a worse version for you at trial. So why would you forego those advantages when you could have them through a suppression hearing? And the answer, of course, is you don't. As long as you have a colorable basis for filing the suppression motion, you go ahead and file it. Now, there are also some ancillary advantages to litigating a suppression motion. Like, for example, your client gets to see you fighting for him or her, and that will help your relationship with the client and also will make the client more likely to trust you if you give your client advice after the hearing that they should take a plea, or you give your client advice at trial whether or not to take the witness stand. Also, in terms of taking a plea, you're going to find out information that will help you better judge whether or not to take a plea offer after the suppression hearing. Those are ancillary benefits. The main benefits are, of course, to try to win, and alternatively, to get discovery and to create impeachment material. And those benefits of a suppression motion are so important, you're going to want to go for them whenever you possibly can. The way to think about it is that in criminal practice, where you have very limited discovery and where you don't have the benefits of depositions as you do in civil cases, the suppression hearing is the closest thing a criminal defense lawyer or a juvenile defender has to a deposition in which they can depose the other side's witnesses and cross-examine them and then create material that can be used to impeach those witnesses at trial. That's something you want to do for the same reasons that every civil lawyer would go for a deposition if they possibly can. And that is why you will always want to file a suppression motion to suppress statements, and you should always try to litigate it.